He was called the man with a foot-shaped mouth because he had a habit of saying the wrong thing at the wrong time. But particularly in the last 24 hours leading up to the cross, he was not only saying the wrong things, he was doing the wrong things. When he came to the Garden of Gethsemane with Jesus, and when they came to arrest Jesus, Peter drew his sword to defend Jesus, struck the servant of the high priest, and missing his head, cut off his ear. And Jesus rebuked Peter. He touched the man's ear and he healed him. And he said, "Peter, do you not realize that I could call on the Father and have him put at my disposal 12 legions of angels? So put away your sword." And they arrested Jesus and they took him to the house of the high priest, where the Sanhedrin were gathering to interrogate and examine Jesus. And Peter managed to slip into the courtroom, and a servant girl there recognized him and said, "You too were with the Nazarene." But Peter denied it. "I don't know what you're talking about," he said. "I don't know this man." Later, the same servant girl said, "This fellow is one of them too." And again, Peter denied it. About an hour later, another group said, "You are one of them. Your Galilean accent gives you away." All of the disciples were Galileans except for Judas, who came from Judea. And Peter began to call down curses on himself. "I don't know the man." And immediately the rooster crowed the second time. And Peter remembered that Jesus had said, "Before the rooster crows twice, you will disown me three times." Three times. And Peter went outside and he wept bitterly. It was a grievous offense. Jesus had said, "Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven." It was a threefold denial. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. You can't say that he didn't have plenty of warning. In fact, Jesus told all of the disciples, he said, "You will all fall away." And Peter said, "Not me, Lord." Even if every one of these disciples of yours falls away, I will not fall away. I will be loyal to you to the very end. And Jesus said, "Peter, this very night before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." Threefold denial. And Peter said, "Even if I have to die with you, even if I come to the end, I will never disown you." And Peter denied him three times. A threefold denial. Why did Peter fail? I believe one of the reasons was his pride. You know, Proverbs says pride goes before a fall. And it's clear that Peter was overly self-confident, overly self-sufficient. And then there's a second reason, and that is Peter's prayerlessness. Christ in the garden said, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. But in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he urged Peter to pray that he would not fall into temptation, after an hour in prayer, he came back to where Peter was and he found him asleep. Snoozing Simon, they call him. He said, could you not watch with me for even an hour? Watch and pray that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. And he went away and prayed again alone. But again, when he came back the second time, he found Peter and the disciples sleeping again. And returning the third time, he said, are you still sleeping? The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed. When I read this passage, I realize full well that I, for one, do not spend enough time praying, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. Peter was vulnerable because of the lack of prayer. He was self-sufficient. He was overconfident. He slept when he should have been praying. And I dare say that one of us, all of us, as a matter of fact, need more prayer to keep from falling in this way. Somebody said Christians on the way to heaven must be in bed before 11. I presume to get up to pray. This was a threefold denial, but thank God there was also a threefold challenge. A threefold challenge from the Savior. If nothing else, it's saying, I'm not through with you yet, Peter. I want you back. And he challenges him. And in verse 15 of this chapter, John 21, verse 15, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. A third time, he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. A threefold denial, followed by a threefold challenge. And I think you will agree that Jesus says more between the lines here than he says on the lines. Why did he repeat the question, do you love me, three times? Never mind the difference in the Greek verbs. We'll get to that in a moment. But it's striking, even in the English, is it not, that three times he says, Peter, do you love me? And Peter says, Lord, you know all things. You know my heart. You know that I love you. And it is as though Jesus were saying to Peter, I want to hear you say, I love you three times. Just like you said, I don't know the man three times. He could have questioned Peter about any of a number of things. How about your faith? How about your hope? How about your love? Do you have all three of those things? All three are important, but the key, the indispensable question of all, Yes, Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you not think that Jesus is emphasizing the fact that the most important thing in your life and in my life is our love for Jesus? And that even though I have faith that can move mountains, if I don't have love, I'm nothing. Paul says if anyone does not have the love of the Lord in his heart, a curse be on him. Love is absolutely essential. Then we have these two Greek verbs for love. Agape and phileo. Phileo has an emotional component. Feelings, fondness, tender affection. That's phileo love. But agape love has a volitional component. Actions. The act of the will. And that's why God can command us to agape, love our enemies. He's not commanding us to like our enemies. That would be impossible. He's commanding us to act for their benefit, to give them what they really need. In Romans 5:8, it says, God demonstrates His own love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God is not fond of sinners. God is not smitten in His heart with a love and a romanticism for sinners. But He demonstrated His love for them in that while they were yet sinners, Christ died for them. He agapes them. He died for them. Agape is self-giving, giving yourself away for the sake of the other person. If your enemy is hungry, He says, feed them. If your enemy is thirsty, then give him something to drink. Phileo tends to be more serving myself. And so, first of all, there's this question in verse 15 where when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Do you agape me more than these? You said you would. You said, even though all of them fall away, I will not forsake you. I will not fall away. And even if all of the other disciples deny you, I will never deny you. You can count on me, Lord. I will never disown you. I love you more than any one of them. I'm ready to go to prison with you. I'm ready to die with you. Now, it's obvious that Peter's love could not stand that test. He couldn't say, I agape you more than these. The best he could do was to affirm his fondness, his attraction and admiration for Jesus. You know that I phileo love. My actions fail to show an agape love. They fail to show a sacrificial love. But Lord Jesus, I do love you. I really do. The one good thing about Peter's fall is it reversed the trend in his life. He became more and more humble. Have you noticed that in the Scriptures? Great men and great women of God seem to become more and more aware of how short they come the older they get. They become more aware of their sinfulness. You see that clearly in the life of Paul. Paul was converted in about 35 AD. 20 years later, he wrote in 1 Corinthians, I am the least of the apostles. I do not even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. 5 years later, when he wrote Ephesians, he said, I am less than the least of all of God's people. I'm the least of the apostles. I'm the least of all God's people. And then 5 years later, still approaching the closing years of his life, he wrote to Timothy and he said, I am the worst of all sinners. Not I was the chief of sinners, but I am the chief of sinners. He became more and more aware of it. A second question. In the threefold challenge from Jesus, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Do you agape me? He's still on the higher level. And Simon answered, yes, Lord, you know that I phileo you. No change. And you'll notice that throughout this whole interchange, Jesus never addresses Simon as Peter. It's always Simon. Peter was the name that Jesus gave him, meaning the rock. But Simon was anything but a rock at this point. He falls away. He's unstable. He's unfaithful. And then comes the third question, the third time in verse 17. He said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And this time he comes down to Peter's level. Do you phileo me? And Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you phileo me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you, that I phileo you. A year or so after I became a Christian, I was reading through the Gospel of John, and I came to this passage, and the Lord greatly convicted me. Mark, do you love me? How much do you love me? I didn't know any Greek at that time except for the little man that ran the local delicatessen. But I didn't know how to show any of this agape, phileo stuff. I didn't have to. I was convicted enough just from the English. Do you love me? How much do you love me? How do you measure love? And I remembered John 14 and 15, a few chapters before. And I saw the close relationship between love and obedience. Of course, now I know that it was agape love. It was an act of the will. Jesus, in John 14, verse 15, said, if you love me, you will obey what I command. Verse 21, whoever has my commandments and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. And I will love him and show myself to him. John 14, 23, 24, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. John 15, my command is this, love one another as I have loved you. You see how it all fits together. Do you love Jesus? If you love him, you'll obey him. And if you obey him, you'll obey the command that says love one another. It all fits together. And for me, that began a year-long project of looking at that question, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I went through the Gospel of John and I checked off every command that I had had the privilege of obeying. And I underlined every command that I had failed to obey. And my heart was ashamed. I did some weeping too. Bitterly. Do you love me? If you really love me, keep my commandments. Threefold denial. A threefold challenge. And then, thankfully, a threefold recommission. These verses are so encouraging to me because, you see, even though Peter was unable to claim agape love, the Master was willing to use his phileo love. Knowing full well that the time would come when he would grow into this agape love, this sacrificial love. And so in verse 18 of our text, Jesus says, "Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and you went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and somebody else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. And then he said to him, "Follow me." Tradition says that Peter was executed by the Emperor Nero. And when Peter found out that he was to be crucified, he said, "I'm not worthy to die in the same way that my Lord died." So he requested that they crucify him upside down. Simon, do you love me? This fall, as we go through 1 Peter, we'll see how greatly Simon Peter was used of God. Because you see, failure is never final in Christ. Failure is never final in Christ. And Peter was recommissioned by the Master. And he said, "Follow me." There's a threefold recommissioning here in these verses. The first question was, "Do you love me more than these? You know that I love you, Jesus. Well then, feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Well then, take care of my sheep." And the third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter was hurt because Jesus had asked him that third time, "Do you love me?" He questioned even his phileo love. And Simon says, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." A threefold commission to serve him. Feed my lambs. I take that to be a young Christian, not necessarily an age. Could be a child, but it's someone who hasn't been a Christian for very long. I wonder how many of us have been commissioned by the Master to feed the lambs. Some of you who served in Vacation Bible School last week, I'm sure, had been that commission. Maybe it's the little kids in your own family, your sons and your daughters, or your grandchildren. Maybe you've been commissioned to feed some of those lambs. If you love me, feed my lambs. And then he says, take care of my sheep. It's not just the lambs that need care and protection. It's the sheep. Feed my sheep. Do you love me? The older sheep need feeding too from the Word of God. In fact, the more mature we are, sometimes I think the more we need it. In a few days at the day of Pentecost, 3,000 new lambs were brought into the kingdom. Why? Because as Jesus had promised to Peter, "Peter, if you love me, follow me. And if you follow me, I will make you a fisher of men. And then Peter had the opportunity to feed his lambs and feed his sheep. Follow me and I will make you a fisher of men. Do you love me? That's the supreme question to our soul. If you do, then follow me. Obey me. And I'll make you a fisher of men. No more Simon in the next book. You see, this is the last chapter of the four Gospels. You have merely to turn the page and we're in a new book, the book of Acts. As you read about Peter through the book of Acts, you see that it's no more Simon, son of John. It's a new man. It's all Peter the Rock. And I read through the Gospels and I call him a man with a foot-shaped mouth. But in the book of Acts, he's had mouth surgery. He's a rock. And it's not just phileo love. I see him practicing agape love. For those of us who have failed the Lord, as I have so many times, like Simon Peter, this is so encouraging. Wouldn't you agree that in Christ, failure is never final? Forgiveness is available at the cross. His love is undiminished as we fail. Makes me love him all the more. Do you love me? Feed my lambs. Do you love me, Mark? Take care of my sheep. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. A threefold denial. A threefold challenge. And a threefold recommissioning in the service of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we confess our failures.